Hey guys, you're listening to The Enough Podcast.
I'm Jennifer, a wife, mom of four, an author. I love having one-on-one conversations with women, talking about our identity in Christ. But most of all, I am completely in love with Jesus.
And I'm Courtney, a wife, a mom, and a West Texas woman with a passionate love for Jesus.
We declare we've had enough.
And discuss how we are enough. Hey there, guys. All right, we got an episode coming at you. This week, we are talking about praising God in the pain. This is something that is very personal to me, Courtney. It's a lesson that I have learned in a new way once again very recently, but like in a more powerful way than I have learned it in the past. It is human nature to do everything you can to get out of pain as quickly as possible. It's survival mode. So when something causes you pain, you do everything you can to find a way around it, through it as quick as you can. And I know that this concept of praise Him in the pain is not new, but I have in the past fallen into the trap of trying to praise God through my pain, just to get to the other side of my pain as fast as possible. Almost like if I praise Him harder, if I praise Him just so, if I sing the right number of songs and say the right number of prayers and read my Bible and read the right Bible verses, that somehow doing all of these things, God will somehow then intervene and give me what I want and get me out of my pain as fast as possible. Nope. That is not how God is. When I fall into that trap, somehow it's crazy. I don't know how it happens because it feels so natural to want to try and get out of pain as fast as I can and to take that pain to my Father in heaven and ask for help with it. But somehow in my heart, it shifts from going to my Father with my pain to, Daddy, get me out of this pain as quickly as possible, to almost putting God on the same level as a genie in a bottle. That if I just rub that lamp just right, that genie is going to give me my three wishes. That God is somehow now a cosmic vending machine. That if I just drop the right amount of change into the vending machine, that poof, somehow I'm going to get out of the cosmic vending machine exactly what I want when I want it. That is not the nature of God at all. Mm-hmm. God does not promise that this life is going to be easy. And God does not promise that once we become His, that it is smooth sailing from here on out. Mm-hmm. There is a leap that happens between believing that God is good and God wants what is good for us, that people take into believing, and I've fallen into this, that if God is good and He wants what's best for me, then that means that everything's going to be easy and I'm never going to feel pain and it's going to be amazing, smooth sailing. And if it's not, then it's because I'm doing something wrong. Mm-hmm. No, that is not the case. We live in a fallen world. God says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Why would he tell us that if we weren't going to face trials of many kinds and need to consider it joy when we're facing trials? Mm-hmm. This is something that God really convicted me of recently. What kind of faith do I have if I'm only praising God when things are going smoothly? What kind of faith is that? That is the biggest form of fair weather friend I have ever seen. I need to praise God in the storm. I need to praise God even if my circumstances don't change. Because you know what? Even though my circumstance hasn't changed, God is good and He does work all things together for our good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's not going to be painful. So for me, I have been in situations in my life. A really good example is one that I've shared with y'all before about having to give up barrel racing. Barrel racing was my world. I loved it. I was highly addicted to it. It is a lot of fun. And barrel racing in and of itself is not inherently a bad sport, but I had idolized the sport and idolized winning to the point where I had put it above my relationship with God and put it above him. And that was not okay. He convicted me of it and I had to walk away from it. And it was excruciatingly painful. And there was a period of time where I thought, okay, if I just pray the right prayers and read my Bible the right amount and sing enough worship songs that God will clear me, air quotes, to go back to barrel racing. Like, okay, you've learned your lesson. Go back and do what you want. And I was like trying so hard to get back to barrel racing as fast as I could. And that's, I missed the point. I missed the bus. God was trying to teach me that I needed him and him alone. And I wasn't going to get my toy back just because I wanted it.
It reminds me of that song, When the Answer is No.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to hear the word no. And, you know, I remember several circumstances in my life when I was hearing God say no, and it was over something that was a daily need, like water, for instance, when we had no water. That's something you have to have. Your body needs water. I mean, that it's a daily need.
Has you cannot water, right? survive without water.
Yes.
You literally cannot live without water.
Exactly. So when I was hearing God say no, I was flabbergasted. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. This is something that you need. Like God says that he would give you food and raiment. And yet we also went for a time with very little food. And yeah. Again, I was hearing no. And it seems like, but God, why? That, I mean, this is something that's so, anyway, I don't need to.
Don't you want what's good for me? Isn't yes. water good for me, God? Where are you?
But you know, it's interesting. And I can see that from the backside of this, that it was not about the water and it was not about the food, even though it seemed so obvious. But really, God was trying to get a hold of my heart and how much do I really want him? So there was a verse that when we were going without water, I was starting to feel like I'd missed something. I was starting to feel like this was not my fault. That I was pretty much starting to turn that going from a trial to suddenly pity party, woe is me.
Yeah.
I feel sorry, you know, for myself, and that now this is now all about me. And mm-hmm. then I was reading in Psalms one morning, Psalm 63:1, it says, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." That's what caught my attention, because I was just struggling about the no water. And it just says, wait, what?
Praise him. Praise him when it you're goes, thirsty.
Then it goes on to say, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." So basically, I've taken that verse at, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, yet will I praise him. And
it
that
is
has
so
been
painful to be thirsty. Praise him in the pain.
And that literally means to me that no matter what you walk through, no matter how much it seems like this is a good thing, and it could be a very extreme desire of your heart. And when God doesn't give you that extreme desire of your heart that seems to be right in line with what God wants, and
it's
it seems
like
a very
thing.
Godly thing. Yes.
Yes.
And yet God is still saying no. How do we praise him in the middle of that? You know, what do you do when you are being consistently feeling like the answer is always no? I've been through a lot of different trials in life, period. And it seems like the answer has been no for so many of those. You've cried out to God, you know he loves you, and yet silence.
Yeah.
Not hearing anything. Is God still good?
Is he? That's the question.
The answer is absolutely yes.
100%.
I know it doesn't feel like it, mm-mm. but yes, he is still good.
Like, is God still good even after you lost your brother?
You know, that's funny, because I had just pulled this up on my phone. I had shared this before, but it was a poem that was in his memorial bulletin. And it says, God hath not promised, sky is always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love.
You know, when I have run into situations where God tells me no, my faith is so weak, it shakes my faith. Mm-hmm. Like, I want this thing that seems so good, and God says no. And I'm like, well, are you really who you say you are? I'm reading all these Bible verses that say, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, a mountain will jump into the ocean for you. Like, mm-hmm. So why isn't that happening here? And what is actually happening is that my faith is being placed in my desire, in the thing I want, or the outcome I'm looking for, or a change in my circumstance. I'm putting my faith in what my circumstances are, not in the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm. There is a very fine line, I feel like, between God is able and what you know that he's very capable of, and you know he can do exceeding abundant, but then also being content and
with
sitting
what
in the pain,
called you to.
Being content in the pain and being content with no.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you draw that line? How do you know which one you're supposed to be? I feel like it is understanding that God is able, like knowing that with all of your heart and knowing that he can do exceeding abundant above all you ask or think, but then also at the same time, being completely content saying, God, I mean, let's just take Jesus for instance.
Not my will, but your will be done. Wow.
Exactly. Even Jesus, right before he died on the cross or right before he was taken, he was grieving. I mean, he was
begging,
he was sweating
begging
blood.
God.
Yes.
Begging God, please don't let me do this.
But at the same time, at the very end of that sentence is, but not my will, your will be done. And I feel like that, it feels like a very fine line, but I feel like if your heart is truly wanting God's will more than anything in your life, then you're able to say, God, I know you can. But even if you don't.
But even if. By mercy, me.
My hope is,
and then you sing it and cry and then you sing it some more.
And my hope is in you, Lord. And that is what our hope is in.
Mm-hmm. So since we're all about battle plans and game plans, this is a lesson that is fresh on my heart. It's something that I've learned all over again recently. And God is so good. I have sat and begged God and wept and grieved, and God's answer has been no for me. And what do you do sitting in that? You almost feel like you cannot go on existing when you're sitting in pain that deep. And God showed me again, because it's a lesson I've learned before, that gratitude and that level of pain cannot coexist. Not at the same moment in the same heart. You can feel pain for a little while and then you can feel gratitude. My circumstances have not changed, but my ability to praise God in that pain has changed. So when you are sitting in your grief and in your pain, start thanking God. It may feel like the most insincere gratitude prayers you've ever said. Like, let's have a hypothetical here. This is not a situation that would actually cause this level of pain, but let's say you dropped your cookie on the floor and it shattered and you no longer have a cookie and you're just so sad. Which is fair, but insert your own situation into dropping a cookie. You start thanking God that while you don't get this cookie, you did have your broccoli for dinner. You did get to eat some broccoli. So there's that. And you thank God that you have had cookies in your past, which is why you wanted the cookie to begin with, because you've had one before and they're delicious. So thank you, God, that I've had a cookie before. And you just kind of keep going and keep going. And while broccoli is no substitute for your cookie, it still changes your heart. Even if it starts out sarcastic, it does change your heart eventually, in my personal experience.
You know, it also reminds me of the song, God Wants to Hear You Sing.
Yeah.
And it says, when the waves are crashing around you and despair is all you see, God wants to hear you sing. It does such a huge mood shift, perspective shift when you, like you were saying, is to start being full of gratefulness. And it is so true. Sometimes you just want to sit and cry, but instead, if you will actually turn on your worship music and force yourself to sing, and it might not be pretty.
And you may be angry when you're doing it.
And I have cried the most ugly song ever as I'm sitting there with drains and in my stomach and feeling like this is not fair and this is disgusting and I just want to pass out and cry right now. And I started singing,
"You want me to
Google? Be not afraid," which is taken off of the verse Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. And as I'm going through all of this pain and as I'm going through all of this disgusting stuff in my life, when I would start singing, it would calm. It would make my body go from like violently shaking to calm. I was able to breathe and I would just start singing, "Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed." So like Courtney was saying, that it might sound angry. It might be an ugly cry. It might be the most hideous thing.
It may
thing.
Feel very insincere. It may feel so insincere and so sarcastic and so bitter, but you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And it might sound fearful and shaky and the ugliest thing you've ever heard in your life. But to be honest with you, the longer you start to do it and the more words that start to come out, the more gratitude, the more notes that come out of your soul, it starts changing you. And I can guarantee you that it's probably one of the most beautiful sounds that God has ever heard.
Angels in heaven rejoice.
Yeah.
When someone fights to praise God in their pain.
Yes.
Even though your circumstances do not change, when you start praising, your heart changes and the pain becomes bearable. It becomes endurable.
This could be something in your life that you're going through, maybe a single lady who is absolutely desiring to have a husband and God is continuously saying no, and it's breaking your heart. Or maybe you are desiring a child and you have not been able to get pregnant, or for whatever reason, you are just not having that child, or
you've lost a loved one.
Yes. Or the death of a loved one. That seems
overwhelming.
Yes. And why? Especially if they've been taken in a younger age in life. You know, we don't know the answer to these questions of why God says no. And they're honestly things that we probably will not know until we've gone to heaven. And a lot of this, I do believe, can just be, we live in a fallen world. We are from the line of Adam and Eve, and troubles and trials are going to come. So is God good? Absolutely, he is. Does he like what he has to see us go through? No, I honestly believe he does not. But I do know that he's going to hold you. And I do know that if the more that you continue to praise him in your pain, not through your pain, in your pain. And I believe that it takes that burden that seems so heavy and like you can't carry it anymore. It seems like it's about to crush you.
We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength.
Yes.
And it seems impossible. I have been there. It seems impossible to praise him when you're in that pain, but you can do all things.
And his burden is easy. His burden is light. When he gives that to you, suddenly that load seems to be more bearable.
All of a sudden you can carry it. Mm-hmm. The circumstances don't change. You are still carrying the load. Mm-hmm. It's all of a sudden bearable. You can bear the load. I'm so funny.
Maybe there's a load that you're carrying today that it just seems like you just can't carry it anymore. You are about to buckle underneath the pressure. Courtney, and I want to encourage you that first of all, you're not alone. Even though it seems like you are, God is right there with you. All you need to do is just reach out and say, God, help me. And start praising him. Start thanking him for every possible thing that you can think of. Even if it seems like Courtney said, even if it seems like maybe it's very bitter sounding at first, or angry or hurt, it's okay. Just keep doing it. Just keep praising him. And before long, your attitude will start to shift and you will be able to praise him. And then you will sound so beautiful in his eyes. Courtney and I wish we could hug you so much right now. We know that there's a lot of pain and we know there's a lot of hurt that has happened over the last year. And we wish we could hug you and tell you that it's all going to be okay. We can tell you that it's going to be okay.
100%, because God is good. We are just living in the time between D-Day and V-Day. World War II reference. There were very real battles that were fought. There were very real lives that were lost. Still, even though the war had already been won, and we are living in the in-between right now. There will be pain, there will be strife, there will be struggles, but you know what? God is one and God is good, and it's still hard, but praise him in the pain. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you ever need anything from us, please feel free to reach out over on Instagram. We're enoughpod over there. We'll have that link down below.
Or enoughpodladies@gmail.com.
And remember, when the going gets tough and you don't feel like you're enough,
remember you are enough.